Before I introduce my next guest, let's do this in all seriousness. So Martin Roberts is one of the UK's most respected property and lifestyle and TV presenters. He has been on the show in the past, but today he's here to talk about a new series of books. I'm laughing, Martin, because of our last interview. I had you down as living with a man called Alan.
Well, I think this was a classic case of don't believe everything you read on the internet, because I think you'd been on Wikipedia, understandably doing your good research, and sure enough there, somebody had put in a very interesting thing, which is that I would live with a bloke called Alan, which would be great, but it was a bit of a shock to my wife.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's hilarious. Well done for remembering that. That's so funny. So classic. Okay, let's, in all seriousness then, talk about this new series of books. So it's called Sadsville. What's it all about?
So I wrote a series of children's books called The Vills, and The Vills are these silly whimsical lands where something's gone a bit wrong. So in Windyville it's always windy, and in Coldsville it's always cold, and in Boardsville everyone's always bored. And they're aimed at sort of, they're illustrated children's books aimed at sort of 7 to 10 year olds, and they just get kids thinking outside the box, because there's like a central character who every day goes to a different land, and he turns up in Windyville or wherever it is, he arrives on a big red double-decker bus. He doesn't know where he's going, but he arrives there and he figures out that something isn't quite right. Why is it always windy? And unfortunately, the people who are in Windyville don't really recognise that anything's wrong, because they're too involved in it. And there's always a silly, whimsical reason that he helps them sort out. Like in Windyville, it's always windy because the man who's installed the latest wind farm is actually colourblind, so he's actually wired the wind fans the wrong way, so they're actually blowing rather than taking the power of the wind. So, you know, but as a child, you have to work out what the problem is. And I've always been a lifelong supporter of the NSPCC. My mum used to be a sort of coordinator for them. So I tried to think what else I can do to help them. And I came up with this idea of a book in the series called Sadsville, which, like the other ones, there's always a silly, whimsical reason, but everyone in Sadsville is always sad. It turns out that the man who's making the crisps in the local gourmet crisp factory is actually putting real onions in his cheese and onion crisps. So that's what's making everyone cry. But what it does is it gets kids thinking about their emotions and how sometimes you can cry and be sad and it's okay. You know, your football team can lose, or you can win and you can cry. You know, there's lots of different reasons why people might be having sort of all sorts of emotions. And getting kids to start thinking about that, and how there's a big difference in between what I call good sad, which is kind of sadness, which is not that pleasant, but, you know, your holiday ends, or, you know, a pet dies, or your football team loses. And there's a big difference between that kind of sadness, which is just part of being a human being, as part of life. A big difference between that and what I call bad sad, which is where you're being bullied, you're being neglected, you're being abused, and getting them to recognise the difference. Because in a sort of 7, 8, 9-year-old's mind, they haven't really formulated necessarily what's right and wrong in their emotions. So we started out trying to raise enough money to give a free copy of this Sadsville, which also contained a self-help guide to kids saying, let's get you thinking about your emotions, and if you are feeling sad, you know, is who can you reach out to for support, and if you need support, there's this group in the UK called the NSPCC, the National Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children, and they've got a thing called Childline, which you can phone, obviously, you know, and they'll have people there who can help you. And I know that there are similar organisations in Spain and in other countries around Europe. And so we did that, and we raised this money to give a copy of this book to 35,000 kids around the UK. But the idea is to get every single child in the UK one. But of course, that's quite a lot of kids. That's 750,000 kids. So in the event of lockdown, fast forwarding to, you know, March this year, when the whole of Europe went into this crazy situation, which we're still in, one of the things that was coming out of a lot of data was that the primary school age children, so that's the seven, sort of six to 11-year-olds, are probably struggling more than others in that age in the whole scheme of things, because they haven't got too much to compare this to with much more of their life experience. So they are really struggling. They're seeing their parents worried, they're seeing financial things happening, they're losing their support structure at school, or, you know, their friends and stuff like that. So I wanted to get something out quickly to at least schools, and also create something online which could be applicable to anyone anywhere in the world. So that's what we did. We created a teaching version of Sadsville, same book, but which had lots of stuff in the back about which could be used by a teacher to form part of a classroom discussion about emotions, particularly, you know, worries about lockdown and COVID and all that kind of stuff. And we managed to give a free copy of this to every single, two free copies to every single primary school in the UK. But at the same time, we created lots and lots of online material. So everything is free. The book's available for free. All the materials are available for free. And they can be used by teachers, but they can also be used by parents just to start conversations, because by opening up those conversations, you realize the children who are struggling and the children who maybe need to focus in on and help.
I think it's a great idea, because we tend to forget as adults that children, really, their brains haven't grown enough yet. They don't know how to articulate their emotions. And I think this is a great idea, because it's explaining them in their sort of language, isn't it?
Very much so. And, you know, one of the things which we encourage people to do, be this a parent reading the book or a teacher giving it out in class, is to read a chapter and then say, okay, well, why do you think everyone is sad? You know, because it's not obvious why everyone's sad until you get towards, you know, chapter 16 or so. You get gradual clues as the book progresses. But, you know, and what comes out of that is a conduit for children who are suffering to almost put their feelings into a third person. So why might somebody in Sadville be sad? Because they're being bullied every time they leave, you know, they walk out of school. Oh, okay, bit of a mental note. Why did Paula or Johnny say that?
Yeah.
You know, they're sad because their uncle is being mean to them whenever he comes to visit. Oh, yeah. Okay, that's a bit random. Okay, let's not make a nod that Will, you know, or Samantha, we need to probe them a bit further as to what's going on there. Now, the majority of children are really resilient, and you've got to admire kids. They just want to have fun. They just want to. They want life to be simple, don't they? They don't have too many requirements. But there will be children who don't have necessarily, you know, as supportive an environment around them. You know, children whose parents' situation is very, you know, difficult. Living in tight financial conditions or tight physical conditions, you know, small apartments, etc., with no outside space and all that kind of stuff. So it's just a way to try and at least start the process and get those kids thinking about the emotion and just share those emotions. And, you know, and the majority of the time you will be able to nudge them to a better place without any serious therapy, without any, you know, without any big expense to the NHS or whatever system there is in place, wherever you are, you know, but just that little nudge at this time of life can really head off a massive problem later in life.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And of course, we're going back, or you in the UK, you're going back into it again as of Thursday. And these young children, it must seem strange to them. Why can't we go to school? Why can't we see our friends? Why can't we see grandma and grandpa? It must be really weird for them at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, thankfully, they've made the decision, I think, as they had as in other parts of Europe, that the schools will continue. Mm. So, but we have the situation here where, you know, if one person in a classroom bubble gets, you know, is either catches it or is in contact with somebody who might have, then the whole bubble has to stop. So it's almost like, you know, you're living on tenterhooks. Although the system is allowing the kids to go to school, you know, when's it going to be that somebody in the class develops what might be COVID or might be a cough, you know? So they're living in with this fear, this anxiety, and I think, you know, I think most of us would agree that, you know, it was really rubbish, but we all sort of knuckled down the first time round, you know, and I think the promise for our knuckling down was that, you know, that it would go away. You know, we did our bit, and I think, you know, obviously, you know, the disease doesn't work like that, sadly, and I'm not saying we were misled, but the way it feels right now is, you know, oh, by the way, yeah, I know we asked you to do that, but now we're asking you to do it again. So I think a lot of adults must be feeling, you know, here we go again, but to what result?
Yeah.
And a lot of kids must be sensing that. So if there's a general sense within the adults of, you know, is this the right thing to do, as opposed to everyone just knuckling down, then they're going to feed on that, which is only going to add to things. They've just got back into their clubs. They just got, my daughter does rhythmic gymnastics, you know. She just got back into doing that again, and now she's got to stop it again.
Yeah.
My son does trampolining. He, you know, he's getting back into it again. He's got to stop it again. them. Yeah. And, you know, you can see it in their enthusiasm that they're doing their best, but they're going to go, oh, sod it, I can't be bothered. And so what that is doing to their mental health long term, you know, I really should have to think, which is why we just need to at least do our bit to try and make sure that it's talked about. Because at least if it's front of conversation, it's not hidden away, developing into something much, much, much more serious.
Yeah, great point. And I was doing my research, as you know, I do a lot of research before
you
we
do,
talk.
Yeah.
Not always getting it right. But I was watching a video of someone very famous reading a Sudsville book, Basil Brush.
Absolutely. Well, what I've done is, in the next phase, you're actually going to hear a bit of an exclusive here, the next phase of the campaign is to, again, just to get enthusiasm about what's out there and make it very accessible. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to get celebrities to read sections from the book. So I've gone around some of my celebrity friends and I've got this amazing selection of over 30 celebrities who've all read, you know, a little bit. So like we've got Bruno Tonglioni from Strictly has read a bit. Ant Middleton, who does SESE Dares, reading a little bit. We've got David Hasselhoff, you know, he's read a little bit. Kimberly Wyatt from the Pussycat Dolls. You know, all sorts of people have read little passages. But then one of the people who kindly helped me out was Basil Brush, and he took it to the next level. Now, I grew up with Basil Brush, I don't know about you.
Yeah,
so
I did
when he
too.
Said, I'm going to read some of your book, and he went and he read the whole book from his bedroom. So, I mean, can you imagine? And I, although I'd read the book 1,000 times, to have Basil Brush reading it was absolutely magical. And that's all available for free for people to see. It's all on sadsville.co.uk, sadsville.co.uk, and you can see Basil reading the book. And in 2 or 3 weeks' time, we will be premiering the version of it with all these other celebrities reading little bits. But I have to say, you know, I don't know anyone who will make me disappear into that childhood sense of extreme comfortable want to be under the duvet than Basil Brush reading it.
Bum bum.
Exactly.
Indeed. Brilliant. So that's sadsville.co.uk.
Yep, and all the information is there. Everything's available free. Parents can download the self-help guide. Teachers can download the book and the self-help guide. So, yeah, just use it and just maybe it'll help just to make sure that, you know, children can at least get the support they need through this time.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea, Martin. Thank you so much, and thank you for sharing it with us. And do say hello to Alan for me.
Yes, I will. He speaks very fondly of you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.